Welcome to the SWB Crawler Cast. I'm your host, Nate, of SWBCrawler.com, an off-road enthusiast site devoted to the Jeep Wrangler platform.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the SWB Crawler Cast, episode 5. It's funny, with episode 4, I don't know how many of you are listening or how many noticed, but toward the beginning of episode 4, after I started recording, you might have noticed this really strange change in volume right around after I gave the episode number and then started talking about the main bulk of the podcast. That's because I accidentally called it episode 5. So everybody laugh. Nate made a mistake. It was actually pretty interesting to try to edit that back in. I had to re-record the intro and then the background noise in the Jeep being what it is as I'm recording. It was really difficult to try to match up. I had to do all kinds of weird, crazy fade in and out, and it came out okay, I suppose. But I know it's there and it bothers me, so I wanted to make sure everybody knew what it was, just because that's the kind of guy I am. So whatever. I thought it was entertaining. So, this is the first recording of the new year, so Happy New Year, everybody, and thank you for joining me. I've been kind of itching to record. I didn't have any time to record while I was off, which sounds funny, right? I was off work, which should mean I had more time to do things, and, well, you know how that works out. I had no time to do things. So, the holidays are behind us, and I hope everybody's Christmas was nice, and I hope everybody's New Year went well, and nobody got too crazy with the parties, and everybody's come out of the holidays as sane as they went in, or maybe even more sane than they were when they went in, and safe and sound. So, I hope everybody got what they wanted for Christmas. Personally, I didn't exactly make out like a bandit, but, you know, it's really more about the family at this point in life. It's great to receive gifts, but it was so much enjoyment in watching my two little girls enjoy their Christmas. That being said, I did get a few interesting little things. One of which being some components for a little project that I'm working on. It is Jeep related, so I'm going to talk about it a little bit later in the podcast and give you guys a more in-depth look at something I'm trying to build. I also picked up some used coil spacers for my 05 LJ off of a Facebook group that I'm a member of. They didn't come with bump stops, so I did a little bit of research and I've decided that I definitely need to pick up some bump stop extensions before I try to put the coil spacers on. And, of course, I'm going to need longer shocks, which is fine because the shocks that I have are pretty worn out anyway. When I hit a big enough bump on the highway, it feels like I'm in a boat on the ocean, and that's generally a bad thing. So in other news, it's finally cold here in Pennsylvania. Over the week that I was off for Christmas, we saw temperatures as high as 70 degrees, which was, I believe, Christmas Day, which was a very strange thing. It's never been, to my recollection, that warm on Christmas Day in Pennsylvania in my 35 years of life. So, yeah, that was an experience. I was walking around. I got a little one of these remote-controlled quadcopters for Christmas, a little inexpensive one. It's not anything fancy with a GPS or camera or anything, but it is fun to fly around. So I was flying that around, and I was outside in jeans and a t-shirt on Christmas Day, and it's just unheard of. The drone was a lot of fun, though. We got a much smaller version of the drone for my nephew, and he managed to land his on our roof. So Christmas Day, I had to break out the ladder and climb on the roof and get pieces of his drone down for him. So that was fun. It's not Christmas until you have to break out the ladder, right? So then we took it down to there's a ball field near my house, you know, a little playground for kids with a baseball field, and we were flying them around the baseball field. That was a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to the weather warming back up again so I can get back outside and fly the thing a little more. I've always liked flying machines. Not to the point where I want to fly on my own. That'd be a little scary. But I do like things that fly. I've always been into little airplanes and remote control this and that that I can get off the ground and fly around with. So that was a fun present. I have to thank my wife for that. So then after the bout of really warm weather, it seems like the moment I went back to work, which was January 4th, just Monday of this week, the temperature just plummeted. I want to say that on Monday, temperatures were in the teens. Today they're back up in the 30s, and earlier this week they were in the 40s. So the temperature's been way up and down. It's really, I don't know what's up with the weather this year, but I could definitely leave it behind. I'd much rather things would just act normal, so I can know what to expect when I leave for work in the morning. Don't have to worry about whether it's going to be too hot for what I'm wearing or too cold. So I've upgraded my podcasting setup, if you can even call it that, and by which I mean I got a holder for my phone, which is what I'm recording the podcast on still. So now my phone is mounted on my dash in a holder from ProClip. I have to say, I've been using these guys for years. Every time I get a new phone or a new vehicle, I re-equip with a ProClip mount and a holster for the phone so that I can mount my phone on my dash. Shortly before I started recording the podcast, I had purchased a new phone. I've got a Google Nexus 5X, which I had purchased late October, and I hadn't finished accessorizing it when I started recording, so now that I have all the pieces that I want, I can actually keep my phone at eye level, and you know, I have a couple of notes that I can glance at and you know, sort of give myself cues. So hopefully this will translate to better organized podcasts and more continuity between topics. So let me know how I'm doing. I think this will help. So I do have to say, I have nothing but good things to say about ProClip. They make custom-formed mounts that will clip into your dash, which is where the name ProClip comes from. They're basically made from like an ABS plastic, and they're molded in such a way that they use the seams in your dash to basically clip into place, and then they have an adhesive so that you can feel the backing off the adhesive, so when you clip them into place, the adhesive keeps them there, and they don't move around on you. When I had the 13JK, it mounted right at the top of the dash, where the curve is above the stereo, where it curves up into the little sunglass tray area. It clipped to the tray and down to the front of the stereo, and it was really great because it mounted my phone directly above the stereo. In the TJ, it's almost identical, except that the vents are in a different place on the TJ, so the vents are now basically behind my phone. The clip goes, again, from the sunglass tray up there down to basically right below the vents, so it's sort of right above the stereo, the same way it was on the 13, but it's it covers the vents as well, which it's a little undesirable. It cuts into airflow, and when I have the heater on, it basically blows hot air on the back of my phone, which is kind of not what I wanted, but there's space is sort of at a premium on the dash of the TJ, as anyone that's driven a TJ knows. So it is what it is, but it works out really well. They also sell custom-molded holsters for the phone, which mount to their clips, so the clips are pre-drilled, so that you basically get one of their mounts and attach it to the clip, and there you go. It's got a swivel base, so you can adjust it. You can put the phone in portrait or landscape mode. You can adjust it so you can see better. It's really cool because you can mount, you can put things, or you can use it for, you know, navigation on your phone, or there's a nice inclinometer app that I've used when off-roading. That's really nice because all you have to do is park on a level surface, level the phone out so it's about right, and then start the app up. And if you go out wheeling, you can, you know, you get a nice, it uses the accelerometer and gyroscope in the phone to determine what angle you're at. If you're going up a steep hill, it'll let you know if you're steep enough that it thinks you might topple over backwards. If you're on a off-camber situation, you know, it'll give you some nice gauges. Sort of like those dash-mounted models you could buy years ago and just stick on top of your dash that always looked so cheesy. So that's cool. And then along with the phone, I also got, or I should say, to go along with the phone and the mount, I also got myself another one of my Christmas gifts, actually, which goes along with the project I'm about to tell you about, which I'll get into shortly, is an OBD2 Bluetooth dongle. So basically, you plug it into the diagnostic port on your Jeep, and then you can get any Bluetooth device can connect to this thing, and then, of course, you need something on the device to read the OBD port. So now I can read codes and clear codes from my engine, but I can also do awesome things like read, you know, engine RPMs and speed and a lot of other things. And it'll even do things like calculate my fuel economy, which is something that I don't believe the TJ was ever equipped with. That is a fuel economy gauge that you can purchase it from the factory that way. My 13JK had that, and it also had a thermometer, which was something else that I miss since trading down to the 05, which leads into the project that I'm about to tell you about. So, having missing those features, the temperature gauge and the fuel economy, and even having a decent clock in my Jeep while I'm driving, I've decided to build a little something. Now, this may go a little toward the technical side of things, and I don't mean Jeep technical, I mean, well, computer and geek technical. Remember, I am an IT professional along with being a Jeep enthusiast. My day job is I'm a system administrator. I deal with Linux servers all day long, so outside of the Jeeping world, I do a lot of tinkering with computers, and I even run a hosting company on the side, so I'm very much a computer person. Recently, a co-worker and I had built a little project where we took this little tiny computer called the Raspberry Pi, and we put it inside of a hat, and then we attached the display to the hat, and what we did with the hat, you may not be interested in. We'll say it was for a convention that we went to, and it was well received. The amount of work we put into it and the features that we built into it, it was really an entertaining little project. And because of that, I was introduced to the Raspberry Pi and a lot of things that you can do with the Raspberry Pi. So what I decided I'm going to do in my Jeep is I'm going to mount a Raspberry Pi in the dash, and I'm going to connect a temperature probe to it, and I'm going to connect an external display to it, and I'm going to connect a Bluetooth adapter to it, and then I'm going to build an onboard computer that will do things like tell me the outside temperature and maybe even the inside temperature so that I can tell how well my heater is working and whether the inside of the Jeep is too hot or too cold. The outside temperature, that's something that's good to know, when you're getting in and out of your Jeep. That combined with the data that I can get out of OBD2, to get things like my coolant temperature and my engine temperature and a lot of other sensor data from the engine out of OBD, I think I can get some really interesting statistics on the vehicle itself and how well it's performing and, whether there may be issues. And the fuel economy over OBD, if I can figure out how to calculate fuel economy, sort of like the app that I have for my phone will do, then that'll be an interesting thing too. So I have a display that's two lines high by 16 characters wide, and on that display, I'm going to take that display and I'm going to mount it above the rear view mirror. The plastic facade that is behind the windshield frame, you know, that's between the sun visors. I'm going to mount that up there, and then I'm going to run cables down inside of my dash to connect to the Raspberry Pi. I have five, because they came in a pack of five, but I have a minimum of two temperature sensors that I'm wiring up to the Raspberry Pi, and these are all things that I've figured out already that actually work. I'm going to run one of those out underneath the fender, because I figure that way it'll be isolated from the edge compartment, and it'll get better outdoor temperature. And I'm going to put the other one, maybe inside of the roll bar padding, or maybe it'll just be inside the dash, or, you know, I'll mount it somewhere where I think it can get a good interior ambient temperature. And then on the display, I'm going to display things like the date and time, the current external and interior, or exterior and interior temperature, and I'm going to try to get that fuel economy number, and I'm going to display that on the exterior, or on the display as well. And then, if I want to get really fancy, I'm going to make it so that it monitors to find out if my engine throws a code. So if a check engine light comes on, the code will show up on my display. And I think that'll be a nice, useful feature as well. And then, of course, if I want to clear the code, I just have to connect to the dongle with my phone, and I can clear the code, or I can even read the code, for that matter, and get more details. So I think this is, in all, going to be a very interesting project, and I'm really looking forward to getting it done. And I'm going to write up a nice article on how the thing is built, so that hopefully I can write it in such a way that others can follow in my footsteps without the depth of knowledge that I have, so that the average Jeep enthusiast who wants an onboard computer like this can just build one and not have to go out and pay top dollar for one. Because the last time I ran through the parts list for the temperature sensors and the Raspberry Pi and some various cables to connect things and the display and there's one or two other components that I still need to figure out, and then of course the Bluetooth pieces, it worked out to about $100, and some of those I gave out to family members as Christmas gift ideas. So things like the Raspberry Pi itself and the temperature sensors and the display, I already have, because they were given to me as, you know, Christmas gifts for family members who, you know, I explained the project to them and they were happy to chip in. So I have a few more things to buy, and then I think I can actually mount this thing in the Jeep and start working on getting the thing up and running. So the whole thing is tied together by the Raspberry Pi itself. To anybody who's unfamiliar with these things, they're a project made by, I believe, the Raspberry Pi Foundation. I could be wrong on that. I didn't research that. But essentially, they're designed to be inexpensive computers for students to learn on. You can pick up a Raspberry Pi Model B Plus, like I'm using, for about $35 to $40. There's a higher model, the Raspberry Pi 2, which has a little more processing power and a little more connectivity. But I really didn't need that for this. In fact, there's a new model that just released, which isn't available en masse yet. I believe they went on sale and they sold out pretty quickly. But it's called the Raspberry Pi Zero, which is a tiny computer. I haven't seen one in person, but they say it's about the size of a stick of gum. For $5. You can buy the thing for $5 and do pretty much the same thing I'm doing with it. It takes a little more effort because there's a little more work has to go into it to adapt all the various things that I'm connecting to the Raspberry Pi B, because the Raspberry Pi Zero doesn't have as many connectors on it. But that's all things that you can easily work around and deal with a little bit of know-how. But the thing is tiny, and it's so cheap that you could almost buy one and tinker with it, and if you blow it up, just spend $5 on another one. You know, there's just no, it almost makes it trivial to destroy the thing on accident. You could do anything with this thing, and it's pretty awesome. Just imagine building yourself a little video recorder to mount on the undercarriage of your Jeep powered by this little Raspberry Pi. And if the thing gets destroyed, you just build another one for $5. I mean, you'd need a video source or a, you know, a camera of some sort. That would be probably the most. That'd probably be more expensive than the Raspberry Pi. But yeah, the options or the possibilities are pretty endless. There's just some really neat things you can do with this. So the Raspberry Pi itself, the software that it runs is Linux. Linux is practically second nature to me at this point, from my day job and from the interests that I've had for almost as long as I can remember. So that's cake. You know, that's easy for me to work with. So I'm all this to say, I'm hoping that once I have this thing built, I can release the information on how I built it in such a way that anybody can consume it, or anybody with just a little bit of help could just build their own, and you know, that'd be kind of neat. I think it'd be a good thing to give back to the community in my own way, because I know there may not be a lot of people that are in this industry or in this sport that also have the unique talents that I did, being so involved in the computer industry. And I really think that I'd love it if I could blend those two. So that's it for my interesting project. We're about 20 minutes into the episode. I don't know if I want to end just yet. Maybe I'll ramble on to you guys about some other topic that you're not interested in, like computers and Raspberry Pis and displays mounted in Jeeps and whatnot. The sale of DIYJ, that is my YJ project, has not moved just about anywhere. I sold that one component, and now it's still just sort of sitting. I think I have my prices too high. I had one interaction with somebody on a Facebook group who basically got offended at the prices that I had listed, and that's... I don't know, I suppose I was misinformed. I did some reading before I decided on my prices, and I found that other people were selling similar items in similar conditions for the same price. This guy made me think that maybe they were overpriced as well, because he showed me several sources that he found where, you know, I think it was the frame that we were haggling over. He found me several sources where he could find frames in even better condition than what I had for lower than I had it listed. So I took that as a learning experience, and I went back to my Craigslist ad and I lowered my prices. See if that helps get any interest in my parts. I really like to get the bigger components sold off and out of my garage so that I can have some space back. I've got some plans for building myself a little workshop in the area where the Jeep is currently residing, that is the Project Jeep. I want to make myself a general-purpose area where I can work on my paracord products, for one. It'd be really nice to have a nice work area where I can do things like measure out lengths of paracord without a problem, and you know, set up some coils so that I can easily have access to my components, you know, set up some bins and, you know, whatnot, get all my tools handy and keep them all in one place. Currently, they reside in a bunch of tote boxes that are stuffed on our back patio, that whenever I need to make a set of handles, I pull them out and do my thing at the dining room table, which has worked well enough, but it'd be nice to have a little more professional area. I've also been starting to think about recording this podcast in a better venue instead of in the cockpit of my Jeep. This has been working okay, but I really feel like the background noise is just causing too much of a distraction, and it makes the whole podcast feel very amateur. I mean, it is amateur. I'm an amateur. This is the first podcast I've ever recorded. I'd like to think that the content that I'm producing is worth something, but still, the background noise... every time I release an episode, I listen to it myself to make sure how it sounds. Even after it's published, I have my phone set up to pull it in just like any other podcast that I've subscribed to. So I listen to it right along with my normal rotation of podcasts. And I have to say, I'm just not satisfied with the quality. I've tried a lot of things to try to eliminate the noise, and well, it's just not possible. When there's a lot of background noise, it's just really difficult to get rid of. Noise cancellation software that I've tried to remove, you know, filter out the background noise, makes my voice sound very odd, and I don't like that. So, at any rate, hopefully I can maybe start setting aside time at home to record this in, you know, in my office or something, where it's a little quieter, maybe after the kids are in bed and, you know, whatnot. So, at any rate, thanks for listening to me ramble on. I hope you you enjoy the podcast. Again, if you want to send me feedback, please do. You can find the podcast on Stitcher. Just find SWB Crawlercast. You can also find me right on my website, www.swbcrawler.com. There's a menu item at the top for the podcast. You can either view the episodes and download them right from there, or there's a RSS feed that you can subscribe to on whatever device you listen to your podcasts on. If you want to reach me directly, you can send me email, Nate, that's N-A-T-E, at swbcrawler.com. You can also find me on Twitter, at swbcrawler. Facebook, facebook.com/swbcrawler. I think you're probably detecting a theme now. I'm swbcrawler everywhere. Wherever you think there might be a social media, try to find me. But I'll tell you, Facebook and Twitter, that's it. So, again, thanks for listening, and I hope to hear from anybody who has some interesting feedback. Thanks!